Our scripture reading will be found in Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. For the next couple of weeks, I'd like to talk to you from the theme of enemies of gratitude. Enemies of gratitude. So all of our sermons or discussions will come from that major theme. And today I'd like to talk to you from the subject under the theme of enemies of gratitude. I'd like to talk to you under the subject of nostalgia. Nostalgia. Look at our text and see the people of God on their journey with God. Verse 1 reads, "From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink, and God had proven himself to the Israelites time and time again." First, let's look at a little bit of what God has done for them in the past. God sent 7 plagues upon Egypt to move Pharaoh to set free his people. Second, God led Israel to the Red Sea, and when Pharaoh's armies almost overwhelmed them to destroy them, God delivered them. And then God parted that Red Sea, and they walked on dry land. These are moments of the journey with God and Israel. If that's not enough, when the Egyptians attempted to chase after the Israelites, God swept all of them with the Red Sea. Moments in the journey of Israel and how God vanquished their enemies are said over and over and over again. In chapter 16 of Exodus, God decided to bake bread and let it fall down like snow from the heaven upon his people, where they could pick it up and cake it and literally eat it. Not only that, but God added quail for a side dish. Moments in the journey of God and Israel. Any child of God can track their moments with God or with Jesus Christ. They can track the journey. As a matter of fact, we've remembered a moment this morning, and that is Jesus wanted us to remember that God sent his Son into the world, filled him with the Holy Spirit, and then his Son died for the entire world and rose again on the third day. Our moments in the journey with Jesus are just as real and just as significant. You may remember the time you were in camp, and it was a Christian camp, and you felt the move of God's Spirit. There may have been a time when you sat in church, and even though you had been in church since you were a child, you made a definite commitment to God. There have been times when you've needed God to answer your prayers. And what has God done? Not only did he answer them, but he did beyond and above all that you could ask or think. All of us have a journey. All of us have a journey with Jesus. But it is interesting that on that journey, there are moments when we, dare I say it, complain. Complain. I don't like that subject very much because complaining feels good. And there are different kinds of complaining. Let me share with you. There's the complaining that is low complaining. You're not blaming anyone. You're not telling anyone off. You're not looking at anyone. You're just complaining about a particular thing that exists. For example, knee pain. Right? Knee pain. You get up in the morning and you hear the clicks and the clacks and the clumps of your knees and you go, oh, boy, that really hurts, right? You know, this is just the low complaining. And then there is the medium complaining. When the medium complaining, you can literally direct it toward a source. Like something is worrying you, maybe a bill or maybe a family member whom you love, or maybe the family someone who you've lost and you're worried about their family. God wants that kind of complaint. God wants you to say to him, God, hear my prayer. I'm going through about this thing. Help me. But then there is the kind of complaint in which breaks the heart of God. And it's the kind of complaint that we see here in our text. God had done one thing after another, and instead of them remembering what God had done, they put it in an area that's called nostalgia. Not a good place, because they kept forgetting what God had done. And God was hurt by this. Let me read to you. Hear what the scripture says this morning. But Moses said, which is an image of what God would feel, why pester me? Why are you testing God? But the people were thirsty for water there. They complained to Moses, why did you take us from Egypt and drag us out here with our children and animals to die of thirst? In May of this year, a retired man by the name of Jim Flicken, 69, of Dunedin, Florida, was visiting his dying mother. When he returned, he had a notice in the mail stating from the officials of Dunedin, Florida, that he was going to be charged $500 a day for not cutting the grass. Not $5 a day, not $50 a day, $500 a day. The fines total $29,833.50. The city of Dunedin, Florida, foreclosed on the retiree's house. Jim Flicken was quoted later saying, nobody should lose their house for having tall grass. This is the kind of hurt God experienced at this moment in Rephidim. God had been there for Israel all that time. God had delivered them from the Israelites, fed them in the wilderness, protected them from their enemies. And just because of a little tall grass, they were complaining that God had left them. The complaint, it's not the complaint that's the sin. It's the kind of complaint. God, you don't exist. God, I'm tired of you. God, get away from me. And all of us, if you haven't gone through that, you may. I know I've been there. And God was displeased with that kind of complaint because I forgot all of what God had done in the past. It's one of the reasons why now I keep a journal, because I need to write down some things that God has done for me, that when things are really going difficult, as we're in the COVID virus now, we can look back and go, God, I remember when you did this. We can go back into the file of our lives and see God in journey with us, bringing us through one thing after another. Give us water to drink. God felt as though that his heart was so broken that just because there was thirst, a little tall grass, you would take all of your faith away from me? You would take all of your belief in me away? After all of their moments with God, they wanted to check on the quantity and quality of God's faithfulness and what he has said and done. And that's the key to this complaint. You're challenging God's quantity and quality of faithfulness. God wants us to complain. It's just that there is a certain complaint that he doesn't have. I know when I'm complaining too much, I hear the Holy Spirit say, wow, you've really been complaining today. And I know I'm not the only one who's been through that. I know I'm not. Am I the only one? Can you look to your neighbor and tell him, are you the only one? Are you the only one? Are you the only one? I mean, I've heard it. I've literally heard it. And I mean complaining about stupid stuff too. Just complaining from the time I wake up in the morning. I don't know. Maybe it's the coffee I didn't have to the time. And I just hear these little complaints. And they seem to mount up to a great deal of displeasure with the day that God has given me to live again, to experience some pain, to experience some joys, to have breath to complain. Then we have to pull it back and go, Holy Spirit, speak to me. As a matter of fact, Paul reminded the Israelites that they had to be careful of the kind of complaint that challenged the quantity and quality of God's faithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors put me to the test, though they had seen my works for 40 years. My brothers and my sisters, beloved of Jesus Christ, thank God we have the opportunity to mature in Jesus. God doesn't throw us away when we have complaining moments, when we test the quality and quantity of his faithfulness. What God does is he says, look, we're going to talk about this again when you feel a little bit better. Amen. Amen. That's usually what me and my kids have to do when we have a big blowout. We have to say, okay, wait a minute, time out. We got to come back to this subject because we're never going to finish it the way we're talking now. And God comes back and he begins to deal with us and help us through our moments and our journey when we don't trust God. Thank God for the grace of time to mature. We have to be more mature than the children of Israel. Certainly the Spirit of God has warned you and I to have a heart of thanks in tough times. When you are exhausted, when you are thirsty, when you have lost something significant in your life, let God be more than nostalgia. Let him be the rock that is higher than yourself. We must be like Moses and cry to God when we're confused. Surely, Elderton Presbyterian Church, we must turn our face toward God and instead of complain, begin to pray and ask God what he can do. Because he can do the impossible. The difference between nostalgia and trusting God in dry places is that nostalgia never remembers that it has been the Lord who has gotten us this far. We've come this far because God has brought us this far. A young man by the name of Ray Palmer felt the call to ministry. Several months following his graduation from the university and while still living with the family of the lady who directed the girls' school where he taught, Palmer wrote the text for this hymn. He had experienced a very discouraging year in which he battled illness and loneliness. One night as he read a German poem picturing a needy sinner kneeling before the cross, Palmer was so moved that he translated the lines into English and wrote these four stanzas, of which I'm going to share one. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. Let us pray. Lord God, we've come to realize that there's a difference between nostalgia and trusting you when things are difficult. We've come to understand that the enemy of gratitude is nostalgia without trusting you. It's remembering without remembering you. It's understanding, dear God, that our complaint has been in such a way that we test your quality and the quantity of your faithfulness. So please, oh God, help us to put this enemy in its place. Help us to recognize that kind of complaining, for there are acceptable kinds, but there's the kind of complaining that breaks your heart. Please keep us from this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake we ask this. And God's people said, Amen.